Let us call to worship to God. God calls us to worship in spirit and in truth, with both deep sadness and indescribable hope, as we reflect on all that Jesus went through for us, and praise God who goes beyond all expectations. Amen. Let us sing our first hymn, Amazing Grace.
Jesus, you ask each one of us to pick up his or her cross and follow you. Help us to remember that you don't ask us to go anywhere that you have not been. You don't call us to anything without giving us the resources we need to do it. We are sorry when we, like Peter, hear your word but go off on our own track, not wanting to see your challenging path. We are sorry that we often want to find the easy way and avoid the challenge of your way. We are sorry for the times that we prefer the ways of the world to your ways. We are sorry when we don't just follow you, but try to work out our own ways of doing things. We are sorry for all these things, but we rest in the assurance that if we are truly sorry, you will forgive us. God, we are amazed that you invite us to share in your story and to stand in your presence. We praise you, Lord, and ask you to raise us to new life in you. Lord, give us true happiness, the happiness of knowing we are called by you, the happiness of knowing we are cleansed people, the happiness of knowing we are Christ's instruments, the happiness of knowing we are set free from addiction to created things, the happiness of cherishing others and being cherished by them, the happiness of being on a journey towards joy overflowing. Help us to remember that your way is best. Help us to accept that living a Christian life is challenging. Set us on your path and help us to take up our crosses and follow you. Amen. And now let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. This week we have just one reading from Matthew, and Derek Windsor will read that for us.
The reading is from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. Jesus speaks about his suffering and death. From that time on, Jesus began to say plainly to his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer much from the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. I will be put to death, but 3 days later, I will be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid it, Lord, he said. That must never happen to you. Jesus turned around and said to Peter, get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way because these thoughts of yours don't come from God, but come from human nature. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will people gain anything if they win the whole world but lose their life? Of course not. There is nothing they can give to regain their life. For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his deeds. I assure you that there are some here who will not die until they have seen the Son of Man come as king. Thanks be to God.
Hello, warm greetings to you from Kingston United Reformed Church. I'm Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers. If we can help you in any way at this season, please don't hesitate to get in touch. It would be great if you've found our worship helpful, if we could have a chat with you and get to know you better. The text that I'm preaching from today is Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. It's hard for the leader of a revolution to tell his followers that the powers that be are going to succeed in their schemes and kill him. It's hard to say and it's hard to hear. And sometimes also it's hard for people to know and to remember that they are part of a revolutionary movement. Even those who've spent their years travelling and listening to him. In spite of that, some people don't even know that they're part of a revolutionary movement. Like Peter. Calling Jesus king is obviously a threat to the status quo. When Jesus states the obvious, they will kill me for this. Peter cannot take it. Over the last few weeks, we've had Peter highs and lows, not walking very far on water, declaring the faith at Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? And now we have him at a new low, taking Jesus to one side to say, look, Jesus, all this talk of suffering and death, you're bringing the party down. You could be king. You could kick out the Romans and get this thing sorted. And Jesus makes it clear that worldly power is not how it's going to be. For me, as I hear this, there seems to be a desperation in Jesus' response. And it reminded me of the passage at the end of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus sends away the disciples, he dismisses the crowd, and he withdraws to a high place. Why? Well, one of the readings is to take time with God so that God will help him keep himself focused on what he has as his main task, keeping his eye on his core task. Jesus is not just telling them that he's going to die, which is a tough enough conversation. He's telling them that he's going to be killed. And only a sadist would want that. Surely fear must have been around for him. It also took me to those who are busily trying to pretend at this time that actually nothing has really happened. And we need to get back to normal as quickly as possible. Open the shops. Let's all start going to the pub. Pretending that we can get back to the office and church gatherings will be like they were. This is all a bit of a blip on the road. Some things are hard to hear. But in traumatic times, the first thing that people need is rigorous honesty. The words Jesus said to the disciples were hard for them to hear, and Peter chose to play them down. Jesus was not having it, and Peter is put in his place. There are many words of Jesus that are hard to hear, but probably none more than his words on self-giving that he speaks here. If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Talk about a message which does not resonate with our life and times. We are people who, if we have to wait for 20 seconds for a link to come up on the computer, we click something else. We are people who, in the face of a world pandemic, sit in front of our screens for 6 hours a day. We drink alcohol and we eat junk food. Hurrah! What does picking up your cross mean? It means sacrifice. It means doing things that are a challenge. Things that may well be painful and things that demand from us. How do we do that? Well, with difficulty. It's going to the cross that was difficult for Jesus. So why would we think picking up our cross would be easy for us? The danger is that one day we get out of bed and say, right, this is the day. Today is the start of the day when I become super Christian. I'm going to raise money for the world's poorest. I'm going to pray for 2 hours a day. I'm going to be kind and generous to those who are around me. I'm going to be singing hymns and keeping the words of the scriptures in my head all the time. That is, as well as doing an hour's Pilates, eating healthily, giving up the cigarettes, the drink and the alcohol. Oh, and did I mention I'm going to control my temper and I'm going to look after my old neighbours. And then your feet hit the floor and you stand on a bit of Lego. Or you go downstairs and there are no tea bags. Or someone has not replaced the toilet roll and you start raging. And you look at your phone and you discover that you've got loads of messages that you must reply to. And you read the news, which leads you to think that maybe it's not right to be giving aid overseas. And giving your money to causes you believe in, you decide that you'll do that later when you get richer. Oh, prayer? No time for that. Exercise? Too exhausted. Pass me the crisps. Or let me send that rude email, whatever your numbing activity is. And the vulnerable? They can stuff themselves. All of that is recognisable stuff. We need the direction of travel set and the humility to know that we will fail. Looking after ourselves, physically, spiritually, intellectually, will always involve discomfort. Those who exercise know this truth. Scholars know it. Those who have mastered any skill know it. Those who have accomplished anything know that there were times when they wanted to give up, but they kept going. That's true of being a disciple of Jesus. The effort, though, needs to be put into trying to discern what is his will for us and then doing it. Too often, we spring into action. We need to stop, pray, read our Bible, stop again, reflect with trusted people who we will allow to hold us to account, and then take small steps, but in the right direction. Life is divided into a series of micro choices in the right or the wrong direction. We need to look at our choices. Some may have been mistakes, that's understandable. But what matters is the direction of travel. We know that Peter will say that he will stick with Jesus, whatever anyone else says and whatever the crowds do. And we know that he will deny Jesus. It's much easier to think of Peter as being weak, but what he actually is human, like you, like me. We're not called to deny our humanity. We are, though, called to remember how vulnerable our humanity will make us to the life that is revolutionary, that is our calling. Perhaps Jesus is also saying to Peter, and maybe to us, you may think that your theology and faith are tight, right, and infallible, but it might just be that you're building on something that is oppressive and death-dealing. Jesus is the one that we follow. He is God's revolutionary Messiah. He knows that violence could well happen to him and to his body as a consequence of his pursuing justice, love, and peace instead of the privileges of empire. That is his calling. And however tough it is to hear, it is ours too. Amen.
Let us pray. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. But here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Lord God, you reproached Peter because he had only human concerns. But Peter just wanted to protect the one he loved. We pray for people the world over who find themselves in difficult situations. We pray that they would all have someone to care for them and lift them before you. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are persecuted for their faith, for all who are misunderstood, for asylum seekers who flee real danger in their homeland. We pray for those who work tirelessly to address wrongs. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray for people whose lives don't always work out right, through their fault or through no fault of their own. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray for the people in our lives who need your protection, Lord, that we will always be faithful in prayer for them. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Amen.
It's time for notices. And I don't have anything new to bring to you, but I just want to remind you that every week, each weekday, we have prayers available on Zoom. Each Thursday, we have a soiree available on Zoom. We also have, we also have a health meeting on a Friday on Zoom. So we have lots of things that people can dip into if your week is needing a bit of a boost, or if you just feel you need to pray. Please make use of those things. I'd like to remind you also that next Sunday we start a service at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in the church, but that the 10:30 service will still be on Zoom and will go on as before. So that's all I have of notices today. Thank you.
Continue our worship for the offering. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bring our gift of money in thanks for all you have given us. We pray that you will guide us to use it and us in the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by Saint Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us pray. We offer you thanks, Creator, Savior, giver of life. From the beginning you have made yourself known. The heavens proclaim your glory and the earth sings your praise. In wisdom you made all that is, and you bless us with the bounty of us. You are merciful and gracious and abounding in love. Yet from our first days, we have disobeyed your will. Long ago, you called to yourself a people to shine as light to guide all nations to your presence. You led them to freedom. You revealed to them your law and taught them through your prophet. Finally, you sent your promised Son, Jesus Christ, who shared our human nature and understood our weakness. Born of Virgin Mary, he showed forth our love by word and sign. Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we sing the triumphant hymn of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. Amen. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This cup is the new covenant in the blood of Christ, shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him. Amen. Let us pray after communion. God of a love stroke on death, you have given us a new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God with us, like a mother, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our sin and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free, at the last. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn, hymn number 114. Hymn number 114, "Let all the world is every corner sing." Second edition, second tune. "Let all the world is every corner sing."
Thank you.
Go out into the world with the food of your pilgrimage in peace and gratefulness. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond the world. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Let us say together the grace. The grace, our Lord.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
God and the fellowship,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us
all
evermore.
Evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.